Thank you, Ms. Terry. I appreciate that. I'll tell you what, I hope I never get over salvation. That's what's wrong with a lot of folk now. They just got over it. They got used to it. I hope I never do that. Amen. All right, good to have you all. Good to have Brother Larry Branham. He's going to be coming and preaching for us. You give him your attention, and he'll probably tell a little bit about himself this morning. If not this morning, maybe tonight. Brother Branham, you come ahead, sir, and let the Lord use you, and just take your liberty in God.
Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I don't take it lightly, standing behind a pulpit. I believe it's a sacred desk used to preach God's word.
It's not about opinion. It's not about popularity. It's not about what we want. It's about what thus saith the Lord. And I believe just from the spirit I've already sensed in the service today, that's what your heart's desire is. So that's a good thing. Let me just go ahead and get the elephant out of the room. We know you're looking for a pastor, and I don't know if I'll be him or if it's somebody else. That doesn't matter. What matters is the Lord's will. It's not a tryout. It's not a popularity contest. The most important thing in this time of a local church is to get in your prayer closet. Stay on your knees before the holy God of heaven, and you just follow him, and it'll all work out. And so my heart's desire and prayer today is just to be a help and a blessing to you, and I've just prayed the Lord to help me get out of the way. And just to be an encouragement in following the Lord, whatever direction he may take you. But just a little bit about myself, and then we'll get into the word, because, you know, I'm not important. I'm just the ugly-looking bald dude up here right now. But my name is Larry Branham. I've been married for 28 years. My wife is, she's not feeling well this morning. She got some kind of a bug that's going around. The Lord's blessed us with 7 children. 2 are in heaven, and then he let us raise 5 heathens. Now I'm very proud of my kids. My oldest is 24. I've got a 24, a 23, a 22, a 19, and a 17-year-old. And they're all active in their church and serving the Lord, and very, very proud of them. But don't tell them I said that, all right? I have pastored for 17 years, mostly down in Florida. But the last 7 years, I'm currently a deputy with the Blount County Sheriff's Office. My oldest son also serves on the Sheriff's Department there with me. And so, again, we're going to seek the Lord and see what the Lord does. But let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter number 3, very familiar passage of Scripture, one that was even referenced in Sunday school this morning. But Proverbs chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 1, excuse me, the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Dear Jesus, Lord, again, as we come before you, we need you. I need you this morning. Lord, I pray that I'll just be a vessel to preach the message that you have. Lord, I pray that each heart will be open and receptive to it. Lord, that each one of us, if we know we're saved, we're bought by your precious blood, we're eternally secured by your hand, Lord, I pray that we can be closer to you because we came to church today. But Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray that even right now they feel that Holy Spirit conviction drawing them to yourself, that they may trust you before it's everlastingly too late. Because Lord, it's not about religion, it's not about baptism, it's not about good deeds, but it's about your blood being applied to our account to wash our sins away. And Lord, we thank you for that truth. Lord, we love you. Again, just have your will and way in the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me again down at verse number 5, where the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding." Trust in the Lord. That seems like a simple thing, doesn't it? It seems like something that every Christian should automatically do, but we don't. What is the first thing we do when there's a problem? We try to fix it. especially if you're a man. If you're a man, now we like to pick on the women and say they're stubborn, and y'all are, you're stubborn, but men are more stubborn. Men are, we got to fix it, we got to take care of it, we got to protect it, we got to own it, we got to do whatever it is to fix the problem and come up with a solution. And we feel if we don't, then we failed our family, we failed our wife, we failed our church, we failed our work, we failed whatever it is. But as a child of God, as a Christian, we've got to die to self and trust the Lord. Again, it's easy to sing about it. It's easy to teach about it. It's easy to preach about it. But sometimes it's difficult to do. I've got things in my life, and I'm thinking, Lord, I got to fix this. And sometimes he'll put things in your life that there's nothing you can do about it, so you have to trust him. I ask your prayer for my middle daughter. Her name is Dixie. She just turned 22 a couple days ago. And we just found out just a few weeks ago that she has a tumor on her brain. We don't know to what extent. We still have about 2.5 weeks till we get in with the neurologist and kind of see what we're going to do, and still haven't determined whether it's cancer or benign or all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. As a dad, that hurts. If I could take it from my daughter, I would. I'd take it myself. But I can't. I got to trust it. There may be things that you're dealing with this morning that nobody else in this room knows. It could be family things. It could be physical things. It could be financial things. It could be decisions that you have to make. It could be people that you love, that you care about, that are headed the wrong direction, and you don't want them to go down that path. Whatever that burden, whatever that care, we have a God we can trust. But we got to trust him. Now, this is the definition of the word trust according to the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. Now, you think about that. Can we trust the Lord in his integrity, his veracity, his justice, his friendship, that sound principle? Can we trust him? Put on him. The secondary definition is he that which is the ground of confidence. You know, the Bible says to the church that the church is the pillar and the ground of trust. Right? It says that in Timothy. The church is the pillar and the ground. The pillar, you got pillars that'll hold up a building. You know, would you like to walk under a roof if there was no support? Well, no, that would be kind of crazy. That'd be kind of almost like suicide. You walk under a place without support, the slightest thing's going to knock it over. It's going to come down on you. The church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Again, we're not in it to build the biggest crowd. We're not in it to be the greatest entertainers. We're not in it to have the most influence or the most name. It ought to be, I've got one purpose, and that's to be the pillar and the ground of the truth of God's perfect holy word, this King James Bible, and say, Lord, I just want to preach it. I want to teach it. I want to hold it up. I want to proclaim it, but I also want to live it. We got to trust him. He's trustworthy. And so, again, this is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Just a few things, nothing new, nothing deep. I kind of throws up a red flag when you hear preachers that'll say things like, well, I'm going to tell you something you've never known. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. We don't have to come up with something new. We just got to get in his book and believe it and live it and then go on with our lives. But anyway, we're going to go through this passage of Scripture and just see where the Lord takes us this morning. But again, think about it. Trust in the Lord. I don't want you to answer this, especially if you're sitting next to him, because, you know, you may come back to church tonight with a black eye or something. Do you trust your spouse? Again, don't answer this. You trust your boss? Trust your kids? Do you trust me? I mean, look at this face. Who wouldn't trust me, right? You don't even know me. Trust the pulpit committee? Trust the deacons? Do we trust our government? I think we could all say, absolutely not. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter which one what I said there, and I could say 100 different other titles or people in our lives. There's an element where we would have to say, I can't fully trust because they're flesh. Because I don't care who you are, how great of a Christian you think you are, you allow yourself to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, you'll do the wrong thing. That's why you have to set up parameters in your life. That's why you got to set up boundaries to say, I'm not going to cross this. I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to hang around this. I'm going to be separated unto Christ. I mean, separation is still a good thing. Separation is still in the Bible. Holy living is still good in 2025. And if the church is going to be what God wants it to be, we're going to have to trust the Lord in every area and follow Him. So again, just a few things here this morning. Famous last words of a Baptist preacher. I'll try to be brief. So I hope you had a good breakfast. Who knows how long we're going to be here. But anyway, verses 1 and 2 again. The Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The first thing he says here is, forget not my law. What's he talking about? He's talking about his word. We live in a day and an age where for years, the Word of God's been under attack. You realize in the Bible, the first attack that Satan had in the Bible was on God's Word? He told Eve, yea, hath God said? Are you sure? God doesn't really mean that. I mean, you know, come on now. In the original Greek, here's what it really means. I'm not Greek. I'm English. God gave me a King James Bible. I'm just going to believe it and read it and study it and try my best to live by it. And where I need to be corrected, let it correct me instead of me correct it. You know, one of the things the Bible says of itself is it's a mirror. I looked in the mirror this morning to shave. Now, I could have just closed my eyes and shaved, but, you know, I may have half an eyebrow. I may have a few stitches on my head or on my face here this morning. I looked at the mirror because I wanted to see how bad it was and then try to make it look as presentable as I could make it, right? How would you ladies like to put your makeup on without a mirror? If you men are putting on makeup, then we got another issue. We'll talk about that later. Right? You look at a mirror because you want to see exactly what's there. You look in your rearview mirror because you want to see if there's a vehicle coming up behind you. You got to get out of the way or something like that, right? Well, why in the world would we look at the Bible and then, if we don't like what it says, try to change it? We don't do that physically. If we don't like what we see, I need to go on a diet. Maybe I should get a wig. Maybe I should, take a shower this week. It's been a while. Whatever it is, we look at it and we say, this mirror is showing me. Look, that's what this book is. If we trust the Lord, we're going to not forget His law. He says, for my son, forget not my law. Three things here. If you're not going to forget it, that means you got to know it, you got to believe it, and you got to keep it. Right? How are you going to know what God wants us to do if we don't study the Bible? Well, I come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Do you only eat three meals a week? I promise you I don't eat just three meals a week. You got to work to keep this padding up. I read something the other day. Someone had a meme posted, and it said, I read where a bullet can't penetrate 5 inches of fat. So I'm not fat, I'm just bulletproof. See, I'm preparing myself. Do we know it? Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to study that book. Not so I can stand up and say, hey, let me show you how smart I am. It won't take you real long to figure out I ain't that smart. We don't do it for applaud or accolades of people. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, you got to work at it. You know, there are some things the Bible says that are hard to be understood. Now, the Bible talks about the simplicity in Christ, and a child can know Christ, and a child can study and learn the Scripture and understand it, especially once you're saved, you got the help of the Holy Spirit of God, and one of His main things He does, the Bible says He guides you into all truth. But you got to know it. How are you going to be the right kind of husband if you don't get the book that the Master and Creator gave us to tell us how to be the right kind of husband? How are you going to be the right kind of wife? How are you going to be the right kind of parents? Well, we live in a day and age where parents are absent, where parents just give in and let kids do whatever they want. And then you end up with just chaos and trouble and heartache. The Bible says that a child left to himself will bring ruin and will bring heartache. Well, how are we going to know the right way to do that? Well, Dr. Spock said. Well, in the latest psychology, look, why not just go to the one that created us? That knows everything about us. Look, the Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know our own hearts, but the God that created us does. We got to know his word, but then you got to believe it. Do we really believe it? Or do we say we believe it because, hey, that's what the church believes? Do we say we believe it? Well, Daddy and Mommy and Papa and Meemaw and all of them, they always told me just to believe it, so I believe it. Or do you really believe the Bible because you believe it? You've gotten into that book, and that book's gotten into you, and it's led you through some difficult times in life, and God's shown himself real. And you're like, I know it. I may not know everything about it, but I know it's the word of God. I know it's true. I know it's real, and I know it'll help me. He said, forget not my law. That means you got to know it. You got to believe it. Then you got to obey it. Now, hold on now. You're about to get meddling. You do understand that a preacher's job is to meddle in your life with the Word of God. You may like a preacher one week and hate him the next. You may want to buy him a brand new truck. I wear size Ford F-150, but no. You may want to just get anything you want, and then he preaches one sermon. You're like, man, we need to get that guy out of here. He got meddling too much in my life. See, forget not my law. We want to trust the Lord, then we can't forget his law. If we're not going to forget his law, that means we got to know it, we got to believe it, and we got to obey it. Not only that, the Bible says in verses 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So not only forget not my law, but he says forsake not mercy and truth. Mercy and truth are two good things. Aren't you glad for mercy? Look, I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care what family you come from. I don't care what you do in this church or you don't do in this church. If we were where we're supposed to be, we'd be in the pit of hell right now. And hell is real. It's a place of torments. The fire is real. The darkness is real. It's really a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place in outer darkness. It's a place in isolation. It's not a party. It's not, you hear people all the time, I'm going to hell. I'm driving the bus. And you want to come with me? No, when you're in the torments of hell, you're by yourself with your faculties in mind. And you'll know and remember every opportunity you had to trust Jesus Christ. And you rejected him. That's a horrible place. It's a place we ought not want our worst enemy to go to. It's a place that Jesus died so that nobody would have to go there. I don't deserve it, but in his mercy, he said, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Grace is the other side of that coin. I think I said that backwards. Mercy is withholding what we deserve. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy says you deserve hell. I'm not going to send you there through my blood if you'll trust me. And grace says not only am I not going to send you to hell, but I'll walk through this life with you. I'll indwell you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll give you the Bible. I'll give you a local church. I'll give you the fellowship of the brethren as iron sharpeneth iron. And you help each other and you grow and you encourage each other. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There may be people that are hurting this morning. You got a church that says, hey, let me hold you up. You may have some needs, you may have some decisions to make, and you got a church that'll come together and say, hey, we'll pray for you, we'll pray for God's wisdom, and look, you're not in it alone, we're right here with you. We may not even know what to do. It may not be, I may not have the answer. Oh, that was a little deeper step than I thought. I may not have the answer that you need, but you know what I can do? I can be present and say, hey, I'm here with you. You're not alone. When you need a shoulder to cry on, it's right here. We need someone to rejoice with, I'm right here. You just need someone to sit here and be quiet. You say, well, what's that? That's just being available. That's just being present. That's letting the Lord do through us what he's done for us. Because he's right there. He promised to never leave us, never forsake us. He promised that he needs. Doesn't always give us what he wants, but you know what? A lot of times he gives us what we want. It's like a parent and a grandparent. Parent makes sure you get all your needs. The grandparent says, I'm going to give you what you want, spoil you, and then send you back home to the parents. Forsake not mercy and truth. You know what that means? We can forsake it. Now, again, I don't know you. You don't know me. But I do know there's a danger when a church is without a pastor. There's wolves in sheep's clothing. There's people that will rise up and we'll want this and we'll want that. And there'll be people that'll want to turn the search into a pastor into a popularity contest. Well, I like this style. I like this and I want this and I want that. You got to put all that aside and just say, Lord, I want your will. Just follow you, Lord. That's what I want. And, you know, there are times in our life where we get hurt. Again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I would imagine if you've been in church any length of time, probably every hand will go up. You ever been hurt by somebody in church? You ever been hurt by a preacher? You ever been hurt by a Sunday school teacher? You ever been hurt by someone in your family? And if we were honest, we'd say, yes, 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 yes. So what do? We get bitter? Well, if they're going to treat me that way, I'm going to treat them that way. Look, there's a lot of times in life where I feel like in my flesh, the best way to solve it is to break somebody's jaw. Just be honest with you. It's like there's a lot of people that just need a good broken nose or something. But I'm sure glad that Jesus didn't treat me the way I deserve. I'm sure glad that he showed mercy to me. You know, one of the hardest things to do is forgive someone that wronged someone we love. Sometimes it's easy. Hey, you did that to me. Okay, I'm water under the bridge. I ain't worried about it. We'll just keep trucking on. We'll give that up to learning, and we'll just keep on moving. But you hurt my family? There are some things I think a jail sentence are worth. So you hurt someone I love, I don't want to forgive you. You say, oh, I can't believe you'd say that. That's horrible. You feel the same way. You just won't say it. It says, forsake not mercy and truth. Don't forsake it. You say, yeah, but they didn't ask for forgiveness. Jesus was hanging on the cross, they weren't asking for forgiveness, they were jeering him. They were mocking him. They took the precious Son of God, the Savior of the world, and they said, hey, you claim to be a king. And they get around and they mock him, and then they say, a king needs to be saluted, and they go up one by one and they buffet him on the face. They take the cat of nine tails and they take that thing. It had to be swung like a ball bat, it was so heavy. I mean, you think about it. Cat of nine tails, a whip with a long handle, and it comes to almost a head there that would look like a broom head, and nine strands of leather hanging off of it. And you get about a foot, foot and a half from the end of that, and they would have like a little rock or a little piece of lead, something to weight it down. And then on the very end, it'd be fringed, and they would put pieces of glass or metal or sharp stone, and they would take that thing and they'd rear it back. And when they'd swing it, that little lead ball or that little stone they had there would hit, and it would whip that little part around. It would dig in, and they'd rip furrows out of his body. What Jesus took for us. Oh, you're a king. You say you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say you're the King of Israel. We're going to anoint you. they gathered all the spit they could gather in their vile, ungodly jaws, and they anointed the head of our Savior with their spit. I don't know about you, but somebody spits on me, I am punching them. You say, well, that's not nice. You see, you got to pray for me. I need mercy too. How would you act? Let me ask you this. I don't know you. You don't know me. But if I was to come up this morning, shake your hand, say, hey, it's good to see you, and then I spit in your wife's face, you're going to say, man, I'm glad you're here this morning. I promise you I won't do that. If you did that to my wife, right or wrong, I'll ask for forgiveness later. But what we ought to strive to do, saying, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be the natural man. I don't want to respond like I feel like I would respond. I want to die to self so I can live for you. That means I can't forsake mercy and truth. I got to forgive. Even when forgiveness isn't asked. Even when we look at it and say forgiveness isn't warranted because they're still continuing in the same behavior, but not for their sake, not for anybody else's sake, but for your sake and your walk with God, we got to be willing to forgive. We're going to trust Him. We can't forget His law. We can't forsake mercy and truth. The Bible says, bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. That's outward and inward. Bind them about thy neck. That's where people can see it. That's where you let people know. Hey, you know what? You hurt me. You wronged me. But I want you to know I forgive you. I'm not looking for restitution. I just want you to know from my relationship with the Lord, I forgive you. And then you mean it. It's one thing, man, we know how to talk the talk, walk the walk, say the right things. We put our Sunday best on. We sing our songs. We shake hands. We raise our hand. We say amen. We give in the offering. We do all the right things. But you know, God looks at the heart. We got to trust Him. See, if we're going to trust Him, that means we got to forget not His law. And we got to forsake not mercy and truth. But then look again in verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If we're going to trust in the Lord, we can't forget His law. We can't forsake mercy and truth. But we've got to focus on the Lord. The greatest thing that the Emory Heights Baptist Church could do is to follow Jesus. Focus on the Lord. You know what happens when we focus on the Lord? We get His mind, we get His purpose, we get in His path, we start getting availed to His power, and God starts to work, and people start getting saved, people start getting baptized and growing in the Lord, and then you start seeing people serve God, and then they go out there and they realize, man, my family's dying and going to hell, my coworkers are dying and going to hell, my classmates are dying and going to hell, and they don't want them to die and go to hell because they're focusing on the Lord, and as they focus on the Lord, they get His heart and they realize He died for them too, and then they start reaching out and people start getting saved. Focus on the Lord. Say, but there's difficulty. Is there any difficulty that's too great for our God? There's none. But there's decisions that need to be made. Where can you find greater wisdom than the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, God puts people in our lives to give us counsel and wisdom, and those are good things and wonderful things. But if it's not biblical counsel, it's not going to do us any good. I mean, we can go out and we can find the greatest firm to tell us, now, if you'll do this and you'll do this and you'll do this as a church, you'll appeal to this community, and you can grow and bust out the seams. But then you're not a church. You're a social club. God didn't call us to be a social club. He called us to be a moving spiritual army that attacks the gates of hell, that will say, Lord, I'm weak, I'm frail, I need you, and we trust Him. We don't forsake His law. We don't forget His law. We don't forsake His mercy and truth, and we focus on Him. So we trust Him. Now, there are benefits when we do that. Well, let me give you this real quick, and I'm going to move down here to the benefits. How do you focus on the Lord? The Bible says, with all thine heart. And the Bible says, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. How? With all your heart. So, well, Lord, I'll give you everything but this. Then you're not trusting him. You're not following him. You're not submitted to him. It's all your heart. But, Lord, this is my goal. This is, no. See, when the will of God really is not complicated. We like to think the Lord plays hide and go seek with it and say, well, if you can figure it out, then you can find my will. No, the will of God is found simply by submitting to him. What, Lord, that's what I want. It's handing him a blank sheet. Lord, you fill it out. Not here's my top 10, you pick one. No, here's a blank sheet, Lord. You fill out my life, what you want for me to do. To all thine heart. Not only with all thine heart, but lean not into thy own understanding. Look, I've already told you how I would react in certain situations, and it wouldn't be the right way. You know why? Because this flesh hasn't been redeemed yet. That'll happen one day when the Lord raptures his church out and this mortal will put on immortality and this corruptible will put on incorruption. But right now, we have a war that goes on inside of us. And that natural man against that new man, and they're battling. You know, it's like you've heard the old adage, you got two dogs there and the one you feed's the one that's going to win. You feed the flesh is going to win. You feed the spirit's going to win. But there's benefits when we trust the Lord. When you don't forget, the Bible says that in verse number 2, length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. When we don't forget his law, the Bible says length of days, long life, and peace. Length of days and long lives are two different things. The idea of length of days, you know, there are times in the scripture where the Bible says God calls the sun to stand still, to give Israel time to get a complete victory in battle. There's a time in the scripture where the Bible says he turned back the dial of time. See, he's the master of the universe. He can do, we can't do that. He can do that. He'll give you length of days. Your days will be more productive when we trust the Lord and we don't forget his law. And length of life. He'll add days to your life. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. Now, I don't want too many days added because I don't want to be in this world. I'm ready to go to heaven. But, man, a few more days. Let me ask you this. Would you like one more day to tell that one you love how they can miss hell and gain heaven? Would you like one more day to see that child or that grandchild come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like that one more day to tell that person, I love you, I forgive you, and will you forgive me? One more day to make that thing right. See, we can get that if we don't forget his law. Not only length of days and long life, but the Bible says peace. Boy, the world cries for peace. We're going to have peace in the Middle East. Everybody thinks President Trump's going to figure it all out and get peace in the Middle East. There's not going to be peace in the Middle East until King Jesus rules and reigns in Jerusalem. When you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, like the Bible is asking, what you're praying for is for the Lord to come back. We're not going to fix that stuff, but everybody wants peace. But you know what? In the midst of this chaotic, sin-filled, corruptible world, the child of God can have a peace that passeth all understanding. How? Don't forget his law. It's all right here. I don't care what you're facing, the answer's in here. But you don't understand. I don't have to understand. I know the God that wrote this book. Not only when we don't forget his law do we get length of days, long life, and peace, but when we don't forsake mercy and truth, the Bible says we get favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Favor, that's a good thing. That means you're a favored. I want to be one of God's favorites, don't you? You know, John is known as the beloved apostle. He said, well, I thought the Lord didn't pick favorites. He doesn't. He doesn't regard the person of a man. We pick whether we're one of his favorites. by the way we live. John wanted to be close to him. God said in his word, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. God says, you take a step in my direction, I'll take a step in yours. You take two steps in my direction, I'm going to take two steps in your direction. You say, but you don't know the life I've lived. Look, you remember the prodigal son? With the filth and slime and pig slop. He would have, the Bible says, he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He was left destitute and nasty and stinky. And he starts going back home to the father. And the father didn't say, hey, servants, go clean him up. He ran out, embraced him, put a new robe on his back, a new ring on his finger, killed the fatted calf, and they had a party. Look, God's just waiting for you to come home. I don't care what you've done. My pastor back home in Alabama used to say this all the time. He said, if you're a true blood-washed, born-again child of God, you're never more than one sincere prayer of repentance of being absolutely right with God. You don't know what I've done. I don't have to. I know the power of the blood of Jesus. The devil's going to lie to you and say, you can't get right. You can't be used. Look, you hold on to that mercy and truth of God's word for your life, and then you have it for other people. And then when we focus on the Lord, the Bible says he shall direct thy path. He'll direct it. I've taken the reins of my life enough to know I'm going to mess it up. I've made enough decisions based on what I thought, and truly in my heart, what I thought was best. What I thought would please the Lord. What I thought was best for my family. What I thought was best for my children or best for my relationship with my wife. I've done that enough to know that I don't care how sincere I am, I'm messed up. I need him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You have decisions as a church to make, obviously. You got to trust him. Because you don't want the wrong one. You want God's man in here to lead God's church the way God wants it to be led. See, it's all about him. But putting that aside this morning, what is it in your life that you've kind of been holding those reins? Those decisions, those burdens, those cares, those heartaches. Song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Isn't that great? We've got a God that can handle your problems and my problems and the problems over in South Africa and the problems over in Israel and the problems over in whatever other place you want to talk about. He can handle all of it. Question this morning is, do we trust him? I'm going to ask if you would just bow your heads for a moment. We won't be long. We'll be as long as the Holy Spirit of God leads. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I've got some things in my life I've not been trusting the Lord. You know, we call this an altar. An altar's a place of dying. You come, you die to yourself so that you can live to Christ. You come and say, Lord, I can't handle it. I need you. God's dealing with your heart. Come do business with him. There's already some folks at the altar. Don't wait. You don't have to wait for the music. As the Spirit of God deals with you, you come do business with him. But maybe there's somebody here this morning and you say, Brother Larry, God's not dealt with me about anything like that, but I'm sitting here this morning and I know that I'm not saved. I know that if the trumpet sound and the church was raptured out, I wouldn't go. God forbid, but if you were in a car accident on your way home this afternoon, you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? If you're here this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you'd say, Brother Larry, the Spirit of God's dealing with my heart, and I don't know that I'm saved, but I sure would like to know. I sure would like to get that settled. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Just slip it up and put it back down. Say, Brother Larry, that's me. I don't know that I'm saved, but I sure would like to get that settled. Do we trust him? Is there one area that you're holding back? Give it to him. Maybe the Lord put somebody on your heart and you need to go to them or you need to give them a phone call. If they're not accessible, say, I'm sorry. I've had bitterness in my heart and I want God to be pleased with my life and I want to not forsake his mercy and truth. I forgive you and I ask you to forgive me. Maybe you need to have a conversation like that. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Are we going to follow him? He said he'll lead us, he'll direct our paths if we'll trust him. I'm going to ask if everybody would stand, please. We'll have a song of invitation. And as we sing this song, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, you come do business with him. Whether you raise your hand or not, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, what a great day it'd be to get that settled.
A huge impact in my life, but my pastor used to say, a great service is a service when God spoke to you. Doesn't matter about any of the other circumstances. Doesn't matter if the walls were shouted down or this or that happened. If God spoke to you, you understand that's the holy God of creation loved you enough to speak to your heart. That's how much he loves you. So let's make sure that we follow the Lord, and let's just trust him. As church, as family units, individual decisions that you have in your life, he's a trustworthy God. Brother Clark.
It was a great service. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If God spoke to me, God spoke to me, so I say it's a great service. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, prayer room tonight at 5:30. Men's prayer room at 5:30. Come back out.